Greetings to each one in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. It's a blessing to be here this morning, and we're thankful for the blessing we have to come together before the throne of our Lord. Let's just have a word of prayer here. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, with deep thankfulness and gratitude in our heart, Lord, for the work you've done in our lives and for rising from the dead, Lord. We're so thankful for the life that this brings to us, Father, through your Son. And we're just awed at your goodness and your provisions, Lord. And we come before you this morning and ask that you would be with us today, Lord, and minister to our hearts as we open your word and just speak to our lives, that our lives would be a clear testimony of you. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. In your precious name, amen. I was already blessed this morning by some of the songs. Song number 249 blessed me. Verse 2 there, it says, "While the world in peace was sleeping, early on that Easter day, came the faithful women weeping, but the stone was rolled away." Praise the Lord that the stone was rolled away. And also the verses that Dad shared there were a real blessing. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came resurrection from the dead." That's in 1 Corinthians 15:20-21. So I was blessed by those opening thoughts. And as I've been pondering what the Lord would have me to share the last couple of days, it kept coming back to my mind about the brevity of life, how it is but a vapor. And so the title of my few thoughts this morning is Life is but a vapor. Live prepared to meet God. In other words, live in the light of eternity. The shortness of our life here on earth and the blessing and the privilege we have to live life, our life, in a way that would glorify God and our Savior Jesus Christ. My text this morning comes from James 4:14. I'll just turn there and read that. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And when I think of a vapor, I think of maybe a kettle on the stove, boiling water, and we see the vapor that comes up off of that, and how we only see that for a few short seconds, maybe not even, then it vanishes out of our sight. And that's how our life is in the scope of time and in God's eyes. We're here for a season and then gone. And it's easy for us to, we all know that someday our time will come, but it seems like, for me especially, it's easy to live our life like we'll be here forever. You know, we don't even have I guess that's my challenge. These thoughts are for me. It's what's been going through my mind. We, in the back of our head, we know that, if somebody asks us if we're going to die, we know we're going to die. But sometimes the way we live, there's almost an attitude or a thinking that is prevalent oftentimes that we live like we're here to stay. And I guess that's just some of my heart this morning, that life is short. Eternity is forever. And just, we need to live like it. So I'm going to read through James 4 here, starting in chapter 4, verse 1. This is a little bit about warring against worldliness, maybe from verses 1 through 12. A lot of the things that we can face oftentimes. "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? And then verses 13 through 17 here are about boasting about tomorrow. Verse 13 here, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So also, here in James 5:8 is a verse, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That verse blessed me, and I felt like it fit somewhat there. And then some verses on the brevity of life in Job. Job has quite a bit to say about that. I didn't pull too much from there, but Job 8:9. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. We see how our days pass quickly by. Psalm 78:39. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Then also in Psalms 90 here, I have a few verses here. Psalms 90 verse 4 through 17. And these first few verses tell us of the shortness of our life and the power of God. So we'll start in verse 4 here. For 1,000 years in thy sight are as but yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, and our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told, The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Then verses 12 through 17 here tell us to live wisely, and God will bless us in our lives. So reading in 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply unto wisdom our hearts. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands. Be upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. I have quite a bit of scripture here this morning. Psalms 39, read a portion of that. This is just speaking of the power of the Lord and how our lives shortly pass away. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. What is it, that I may know how frail I am? Behold, thou hast made my days as in handbreadth, the width of a hand, it's meaning short, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgression. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner with my fathers. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. And a few thoughts in Ecclesiastes there. Ecclesiastes 6. Verse 1 through 12. I kind of put a heading over that passage. Living an empty life does not glorify God, as we see in this next passage. It says there, starting in verse 1, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. If a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. In other words, that is not fulfilling, and it's an empty life. And then verse verse 4 here. For he cometh in with vanity and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet his appetite is not filled. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. That which hath been is named already, and is known that man is. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing that there be many things that increase vanity, which is better, what is a man the better? For who knoweth what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life which he spendeth is a shadow. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Just a few thoughts here I have on that. It is better to live in uprightness than to be rich or have many pleasures or fun in life. It is a life filled with righteousness that brings glory and honor to God is much more fulfilling, is my thought there. I have a few verses to go with that. In Proverbs 28:6, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his way, though he be rich. Also in Ecclesiastes 11:8, if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. That should have been probably it's probably a little out of place there. Ezekiel 33:15, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live and not die. 16 here, none of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Amos 5:14, seek good and not evil, that ye may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as ye have spoken. First Peter 2:24, who his own self bore our sins, his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 4:2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. 1 John 4:9, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation or your behavior or life honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Just a few more verses here, saying how God delighteth in righteousness or a righteous life. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. In Psalms 33:5. Proverbs 11:19, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Proverbs 13:6, righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but the wickedness overthroweth the sinner. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That verse kind of stuck out to me here this morning. I'll read it again. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. One more verse here I have in 1 John 2:29. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Just a few verses there. Hopefully they can be an encouragement to our lives to live in a way that glorifies God. That's my heart this morning, that we would see the shortness of life and the opportunity that we have here to live it for Christ, and that we would purpose to live lives that would glorify Him. I just have a poem here, yet I'll just read through this. Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in your hand, all events at your command. His decree, who formed the earth, fixed my first and second birth. Parents, native place and time, all appointed were by him. He who formed me in the womb, here's the